You guys, it's almost that time of year again where you need to start thinking about Christmas presents for the people you love. And if you really, really love those people, you'll get them a doghouse system at doghousesystems.com. Desktop, tower, or notebook. They've got you covered. They're the best gaming rigs on the planet, and their service is second to none. Be truly next generation and get a brand new Doghouse Systems gaming PC right now at doghousesystems.com.
They are no longer part of my hood!
You are listening to The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 343, and this is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. My name is Scott Johnson. It is Friday, October 4th, 2013, and I am joined, as always, by Dills. Hi, Dills.
Hi, Scott.
How's it going, man?
It's going okay.
Great.
Word on the street is that there's a secret third chair.
Oh, yeah, secret third chair. Let's get right into it. So Terpster is, we can't seem to raise him on phone, text.
Like, this is what happens when you get engaged, people.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is don't do it.
Ye old ball and chain, man.
They pull you back. Yeah, you can't do anything anymore.
Nope.
See?
It is the worst kind of crowd control on your hotbar. Joining us today via fantastic guest spot seat coverage holder, man, keep it warm. I don't know what I'm saying.
That makes a lot of sense.
Of course, your friend and ours, host of Coverville and co-host of The Morning Stream, it's Brian Ibbett, everybody. Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Governor.
Oh, wow.
I'll do this the whole show so that people won't be freaked out.
Oh, did a wild tea just appear?
Hello, mate.
Uncanny.
Uncanny indeed. Wow. And you've really brought out the Bristol area kind of part of the accent.
Yeah. I'll take another pint of beer, please.
Just dead on. It's dead on.
Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect.
The Frank Caliendo of The Instance. It's impressive business. It's a little weird for me, I got to be honest, because you and I do a show every morning, Monday through Thursday, and having you on here, I feel like we're supposed to be doing that when I hear your voice. We're so trained.
Talking roughly the same time, a little bit earlier than this, but every other day.
Actually, it's about now we end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So enjoy a Friday with Brian Ibbett. Good to have you here. Good to have Dills here. We got a lot to talk about. So what'd you say?
So thanks for letting me hijack the show.
Oh, no problem. I know you said something, you expressed your love toward Kojak, and I was going to explore that further, but that's not what you said. That's not what you said at all. Oh, yeah, we got food testing.
Yeah.
We're testing. Get with the program, Dills. Where you been?
I don't have any odd snack foods around.
For those who are listening to the show, who always listen to The Instance, who have no idea what we're talking about, it's The Morning Stream Monday through Thursday, right here on the Frog Pants Network. Give it a listen. All right, we got stuff to talk about. We got things going on.
There are things going on.
You know, before I get too far into kind of what I've been up to this week, which we like to do at the top of the show, a reminder for some who've heard it and those who maybe haven't heard, there are a few days left, but we are running an AIE Guildhall BlizzCon 2013 meetup where we're getting space in the Hilton. We've done this years past, but this year we just wanted to figure out a way to make it happen financially so that individual guild members weren't going into hideous debt. So that many could enjoy it and only one would be suffering.
We had some generous guildies in the past.
Oh, yeah, without question. And they still, they're still as generous as they've ever been, but we want to take the burden off of that and help these guys. So go check it out if you're part of the guild or you just want to support it or you want some cool rewards. And there's a whole bunch of physical and digital and sort of, I don't know what you'd call them, in-person rewards that are up for grabs at tiny.cc/AIE Guildhall. And it's up on Kickstarter right now, and you can still support it. We've technically funded for the amount we need it as a minimum, but we're working on some stretch goals and some other stuff. So you have about a week before that ends. So please go check it out. Support it if you like.
The Guildhall is the coolest thing ever when you're at BlizzCon.
It's amazing. And there are people coming who don't even have BlizzCon tickets who will still be there.
Hang out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll be broadcasting the simulcast in there. There'll be tons of friends and people and stuff will be there. Should be a live instance, I hope. Oh, that's the plan anyway. Brian Ibbett, you'll be there.
I'll be there. I'm actually trying to decide whether or not, because obviously with Guildhall, you actually see things better than if you were at the con itself, because you get close-up shots with the live video stream. However, you don't get the swag bag, and so I'm tempted to buy the video stream just to get the swag. Although I guess you don't get a true swag bag. You just get the electronic swag. You just get the in-game pad and... Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Maybe you won't. But hey, check this out.
Yeah.
The BlizzCon Guild Hall will have its own.
Oh, that's right. There'll be swag there.
Yeah.
Well, then what do I need any Blizz swag for?
You don't need any of this, dude.
Guild Hall swag. That's what I want.
You should come dressed in an EverQuest outfit and just pretend you hate WoW.
And that'd be awesome.
You're still in either way. Yeah, that would be kind of awesome.
I actually use my AIE thermos. Very regularly. It's my by the bed water supply.
Oh, wow.
It's an AIE thermos. Yeah, that I got at BlizzCon 3 years ago.
Was it three? Yeah, 2010 you went, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's great. See, look, it's the gifts that keep on giving.
Right.
So go support it, tiny.cc/AIE Guildhall. All right. I have been up to mostly flex rating and working on. Okay, I got a little confession for the show, a little embarrassing moment for me in WoW. It's no surprise, and I've said this since we started the show in January of 2006. Boy, park your head behind that idea if you want. That sounds crazy. That wasn't that long ago. But I've been saying since then that I don't like professions, and I never have. I can't stand them. And it's not just WoW. It's all games that have professions. I just don't. I kind of try it first, and I kind of just peter out, and I hate them. And I know that's, you need to earn money. You got to buy your way through gems and flasks if you're raiding and all this other stuff. But I just hate it. And we've been in such a big, generous guild for so long that I haven't really had to do that or go out there and make sure I'm earning my keep. But what I always did do right up and up through Cataclysm was I always skinned, because skinning's easy. I'm going to kill a thing. It's going to let me skin it. I'm going to have that skin and I can go plop it in the auction house and make a little money. And or for a while there, I was a leather worker and I could do some other stuff with it. So that was fine. But I let that lapse sometime toward Dragon Soul and forward, and all through Miss, I didn't skin a damn thing. I just ripped through it and didn't skin anything. So here's
So something would die and you'd go to skin it and it would be like, you don't have high enough skill to do this.
Eventually it would. I mean, at first it was fine.
At first,
at first it was fine, but then I got to that cap.
It's like the easiest thing you could do, though. I know. You killed it. You might as well,
It's embarrassing.
You're looting it?
It's embarrassing.
But you have to go back and skin lower level stuff to get your skill up to the proper level.
This is the problem. Yeah. This is it. So that's what I, and plus I never went to the trainer who gave me the higher than 500 or whatever it was. I don't even remember now, but the
I don't think you have to anymore, do you?
There's a dude in Mist in the first zone you got to go to, I think, to just get
like
to the
it
next
just day. Happens now. I feel like you just, I don't know. Maybe
I thought
I'm wrong.
You did. Well, anyway.
Everything just seems to happen now.
Yeah, everything just kind of happens.
You don't have to go to anybody anymore.
No, but what I decided to do was go back to where I could roughly find where I left off, and it turns out it was right outside the brewery instance. What's that one called? I forgot. Stormstout Brewery. Out by, I can't remember the zone, whatever. There's a bunch of Kodo-looking things, rhino, dinosaur creature things, and...
some grain silos.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. All that stuff. And so I'm out there, running around, before raid or whatever, just skinning my way to freedom. And it's quick out there because there's tons of stuff. And I'm getting back in there, but... It's a little embarrassing because now we're in raids and things, or Timeless Isles, for example, is a skinner's dream.
Oh yeah, so many beasts
and
so many beasts.
So many beasts, so little time, and my knife would not cut the beast, so I had to I got to work my way back up. So
your
honestly,
knife is too dull, Scott.
It's funny that the Timeless Isles is actually the thing that drove me to do this, to go back and give a shite about my skinning. So I'm gonna get it back up to par, get out there and skin the hell out of that place, and. Sell all my stuff on the auction house. And for what end? I don't know. I don't really need it.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of people saying, hey, Scott, why don't you skin that giant spider there? Because I'm not up to cap.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, do you remember, though, the skinning races between myself, you, and Pootinky when we would kill the big Yeti?
Yep.
Who's going to skin this bastard first? And, Poot would just stand by it as it was dying so he could insta-click
it. Absorb
it.
Yeah. He would just absorb the skin. Now, I used to love that fight. We'd do that a lot in ICC, and he would somehow, I don't know if he just had an enormous lack of latency on his side or something, because 9 times out of 10 he would win those fights, and I hated it.
Yeah, he's the fastest skinner in the West.
That's true.
He's small, so there's no wind resistance or anything like that. He can duck in and pew.
Low center of gravity.
If you're going to be a little guy, you better be quick. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
You know,
we like little people. Don't worry, folks. So there's that going on. I've been flex rating. I didn't play last night. I couldn't. There's some house stuff going on we had to worry about, but I was sad to miss that because I always enjoy that. And the Hearthstone had their wipe. So I was about to open up my cards again, my $50 worth of cards, as was you there, Brian Ibbett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Dills just gave us a big warning. So can you reiterate why people who may have spent $50 on cards should use that gold that's now converted to gold, use that in Arena instead now? What's the advantage?
The advantage is that no matter what, you get a pack of cards anyway. Mm. So basically, 100 gold to buy one pack and 150 gold to guarantee a pack and play through an Arena run. And I'll say this, the Arena run is also more valuable because of not just the rewards you can potentially get at the end, but also the experience you get playing, and you get to use cards that you don't have. You know what I mean?
Oh, right, because that initial deal is
you can
randomly
get,
chosen or whatever. You're picking
you
from
can get, three legendaries in a deck. It could happen. And
so that's what kind of levels the playing field is the Arena, is the fact that it's a draft style deck building.
There's literally no pay to win in Arena. I mean, well, you pay $1.99 if you have no gold, but you can't win more than somebody else based on what you've paid, how many packs you've opened.
They don't walk in there with some supremely stacked deck, in other words. They,
right.
They might.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might. Yeah.
Just gotten it.
Right, right.
Yeah. I played some Arena runs where I've had ridiculous decks. And then I played some where I couldn't get anything good and I sucked.
Yeah.
But so last night I played a ton of Arena because I think I got 5,000 gold after the wipe. So to me, the wipe was great. I love the wipe. I was like, yes, please let me do my Arenas again.
More wipe,
let's wipe again next week. Why not?
Oh, no kidding, right? Because you get everything that you've earned from Arena. You get all that back too.
Well, no, actually, you don't get your gold back. But any actual money you spent on Arena. So if you did at one point buy a $1.99 Arena run, you get 150 gold back for that.
Yeah, so, any real money you did, they'll convert to gold for sure.
Mostly, any real money. So mostly my gold was the packs I bought right away.
Yeah.
But I did also buy into some Arenas here and there as the game was going because it took me a while to start, getting decent at Arena. So, last night I did, I think, 10 Arenas.
Yeah.
I just did it all night.
Wait, 10 Arena runs, separate runs?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How far did you win any 9 in a row or how'd you do?
I got 0 9s, but I did get, I think, 4 7s. I didn't get anything less than 5, but I think I got a 4 with a rogue. Rogue is now nerfed to the ground. So
right.
Properly, by the way. Properly.
You're saying that's how that should have gone. We're not sad to see the nerf ban on that thing a little bit.
It may have gone a little too far, but that's fine. They had their day in the sun.
Right. Who's trouble now? Is there any consensus out there?
Actually, warriors and priests.
Great.
I think they buffed them too much.
Great, great.
But, that's fine. That's how Blizzard does it. They, you suck, then you're OP, and then you'll suck again at some point.
And eventually, if things go well, you're in the middle of the pack, and everybody is just about right, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it'll take us a while to get there.
You know what the beauty of Hearthstone is, though, is that if the class you prefer got nerfed to the ground, you're not stuck with it. You just pick another one.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
It's not hard. It's not like, oh my God, I leveled all the way to 90 and now I suck.
Yeah. The hard part is just that when you start to see every Arena opponent you run into, let's say they're all playing Warriors, well, you're like, well, there we go, Blizzard. There's your, hurry up and fix this because I don't want to run Arenas against Warriors for the rest of my life.
Well, last night it was pretty apparent, but I think a lot of people were picking Priest and Warrior just because they got buffed and they wanted to try it out.
Right.
So I ran into tons of warriors and priests last night, just tons of them.
Yeah.
And priests are really scary now because they've got some new spells. They've got some spells that just insta-kill big guys. And then also they can mind control the big guys. So,
ooh, boy.
Yeah. You want to play kind of a fast, rushy deck against the priest, really, I think.
Yeah, but it's funny for you to say the priests are really scary now, even though that's Anduin's stupid face on there every time I see it. I'm like, you little punk kid, I just want to kick him to the curb. I don't need him to be tough. You little bastard.
He's not an imposing figure, that's for sure.
No, but that's
the
truth.
The priests are tough now, and definitely warriors. I really like playing the warrior now, though. Really just the change to one card, Battle Rage. That's really all it took. But I had one which I thought was absolutely fantastic. It was a warrior deck, and it had a lot of really good cards, a lot of great warrior cards. I think I had like 5 Corcoran Elites, which if you don't know what those are, they're 4/3 for 4 mana, and they have charge. So as soon as you drop them on the deck, they can attack. Mm-hmm. So they're almost like instant board clear type cards. Yeah. You can just remove stuff with them.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of things that have more than 4 health. Well, yeah, there are a few. But then I also had Cruel Taskmasters, so I could increase their attack if I needed to. Anyway, I also had Deathwing in this deck.
Oh.
Mm. The last pick of the arena was 3 legendaries. I think one was like Harrison Jones, which is really good but situational. And the other one was like another really weird one, like Lore Walker Cho or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'm going Deathwing for sure, because I'd never gotten to play Deathwing. And Deathwing, when you are losing, is like instant win. It's like, nope, I'm not losing anymore. Mm. You know, because basically what it does is wipes the board, puts Deathwing on, who's a 12-12. It clears your hand, which is fine because you're probably card dead anyway if you're losing.
Right. Well, and wait, card dead, is that the cool? Is that what the kids are saying now?
I like that term. Yeah.
Card dead. Exactly. I like that.
So if you have no cards in your hand, I call that card dead.
I like it. Ooh, you coined it. Okay, everybody pick up on this. I think this is good.
Ringed it, Scott. I ringed it.
You ringed it.
But it was funny. So I was at like, I think I'd actually lost the first game because I just got completely outdrawn and outplayed. This guy just had an amazing deck. And then I won the next like 5 or 6 games, all with Deathwing.
Oh wow.
It was ridiculous. Like every single time, as soon as Deathwing would get into my hand, I would just kind of be like, okay, well now I've got an instant win whenever I need it. So I'll just start playing like really fast and loose, just kind of like going crazy and just going for the guy's face and letting him just build the board up.
Sure.
And then I just wipe the whole board with Deathwing. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you got nothing to do with this. So.
And if you got a 12-12, unless he's got something like, you know, a Hunter can knock you down to 0 for that round or whatever. But,
A Hunter can go straight to my face. But basically, once you throw a 12-12 on the board, it's like he better get rid of it in 3 turns or he's dead, no matter what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's 12-12.
That's crazy, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had one game where I think I was I had like 6 health or something. I hadn't some armor because I was a warrior, but the other guy was at full health. I dropped Deathwing. I won in 3 turns.
Oh,
he could not deal with
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So wait, does Deathwing, when you throw him down, does he yell anything to the effect of like pain or agony? Did any of those words come out?
I cannot think of what his emote is right now.
Okay.
I usually have it turned down and I'm listening to music, but I picked up a Deathwing in my big pack extravaganza and
aren't you tempted? I mean, I know we're gonna get like Dills is right about the arena thing, but yeah. I'm so tempted to roll that 50
I
deck
know
again.
Opening packs is fun, you guys. I know it.
It is.
But okay, so here's the sad part of the night though.
All right.
So I'm at 6 wins at this point.
Wait, not you at 2 AM slobbering on yourself. That wasn't the sad part.
your video
fine.
Stream though.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Yeah. I actually didn't stream this last night because I was like, no, I'm not gonna do it tonight. I'm too tired anyway, and I don't want to be on all night. I just want to play.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm on 6 wins. When you get to 7 wins, you basically guaranteed yourself getting your gold back, at least.
Right.
At least your 150 gold back. So I'm on 6, and I have 2 losses. I'm in the game. I'm winning. Deathwing is in my hand. I'm waiting for the moment to play Deathwing. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
To totally play Deathwing, this guy's going to freak out. Because basically, every single time you play it, you can see the guy like start cycling through his cards like, do I have anything that deals with this?
You can see the cards just going. Tuk, 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 tuk.
Yeah. So, it's Deathwing is right there. Costs 10 mana. We're past turn 10. I can play it whenever I want. And then all of a sudden, booted out. Internet goes down in the entire house.
Oh, no.
Every single time this happens, it's a loss. If you get booted out, they count it as a loss.
I was going to ask you that didn't change post patch. Then this after this wipe, it's still a loss if you lose connection.
Yeah.
Oh, dude!
If you get DC'd, it's a loss. So basically, I went 6-3, and I was clearly winning that game. So
you would have gone full 9, easy.
I think I would have. That deck was just crushing people at that point. Mm, so
right,
But anyway.
Well, it's fine. the arena, you remember when they called this the Forge? I keep wanting to call it the Forge, but yeah. The arena has turned out Forge
on Hearthstone.
Oh, does it? I didn't know that. I just all this time later, I'm more and more convinced that this is the magic sauce of that game, that that's the thing that's going to really draw people long term, that will be the most competitive thing, that will probably make this thing a potential esport. Like all that stuff, I think is sort of dependent on the arena being awesome, and it seems like it is.
Like, oh yeah,
you know, it's the great leveling mechanic in the game where everybody's starting the same level. You can't really cheat. You can't come in with a stacked deck. Like there's no way to sort of gain that system. You might get lucky and get Deathwing like you did, but they have just as good a chance of getting lucky and maybe even having Deathwing themselves. So
yeah, no, absolutely, and I mean. You never know the deck you're going to play against, which is also what makes it really interesting. Like, a guy could have 6 fireballs in a mage deck.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And like, if I was drafting a mage deck and I got the opportunity to pick 6 fireballs, I would.
Of course you would.
I would pick every single one of those damn things. Yep. That's an OP card.
What are those?
4 mana, 6 damage.
Yeah, 6 damage.
Anywhere you want
it. Direct to the... Right, exactly.
Anywhere you want it. Like, yep. you can't block it with a taunt. Can't do anything. You just got to take it to the face.
Yep.
I actually did have I had a mage deck last night that had, I think, four fireballs and a pyroblast.
Good Lord.
Pyroblast is 8 mana, 10 damage.
Yeah.
So basically, I could get down to the last couple turns or whatever, and if he was at like 15 health, I could just kill him in the next 2 turns, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, you know, pretty fun.
That's great. Sounds like... hell of a good time over there at the Dill's house.
It was a very good time. Somebody in chat, Malinor, just said,
Malinor.
Mm-hmm. Just said, patch changed the amount of gold you get at 5 and 6 wins. It did, but you still at 5 and 6 wins don't break even as far as getting 150 back. You get much more, though. I actually have a spreadsheet of my arena run.
Of course you do.
pre-patch, pre-wipe on 6 wins, I had... one where I got 6 wins and I got 10 gold.
Good Lord.
And post-wipe and patch, 6 wins was generally averaging me about 100 gold.
Good Lord, man. See, look at you. Wow. This is how we'll know. This is why I'm going to base whatever I do with my gold expenditures on Dills' experience, because he's gone as far as to spreadsheet that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he's doing that, then he's got the math and he knows. And if there's a change in a patch, he'll know what changed and he'll factor that in and... I'm telling you, you're going to get your best Hearthstone tips right here on the show, folks. I'm telling you. Well, maybe something else, but we'll talk about that later. Brian, what'd you do?
Yeah.
And WoW this week.
So I've been totally getting into the Timeless Island, doing the whole thing. I found a plugin, an add-on that tells you where all the chests are. It gives you like a TomTom route to get all the chests. And then you can obviously go back and get all your weekly chests. So I've been doing that and having a blast with like the walking on a rope chest and the flying and kind of falling, slow falling chests. And then I tried my first attempt with getting the albatross to pick me up and drop me
on
the platform area where you can't get otherwise.
How'd that go?
It was great. It was like I started walking around like, oh, cool. I'm in this whole new area that I can get to. All right. Ooh, what's in here? Let's go into this area. Well, it's the area that you can't go in unless you have the cloak, the legendary cloak.
Oh, right.
And once you walk in there, it automatically ports you right back to the entrance to the Timeless Isle.
Oh, the camp over there?
The camp, exactly. So it's like you do all this work to get on the albatross and ride him around the island. It's slow. It's like you're watching. And then one wrong move into the wrong area, and all of a sudden I'm poof back where I started without any of the chests up there. Didn't even get a chance to open anything up there.
Well, back to the add-on. So this isn't a standalone thing that's giving you all the coordinates. It's a plug-in for TomTom. Like you've got to have TomTom.
It's called Handy Notes or something like that. Handsome Notes, and it just plugs in. Handsome Notes, and just plugs into your TomTom and just routes you to each one.
Nice.
Have you guys done that glider thing yet?
No.
No, no. The one you buy, the one you can buy.
Yeah, you buy the glider, and then you glide across that broken bridge, and then there's a chest up there. But I guess I haven't been able to do it yet, because I'm saving all of my coins for the trinket. But you buy, I think it's like 1,000 gold for the glider. You glide across that bridge, and then if you can just run straight to the chest and open it before everything that aggroes kills you, you get like a 540 or something like that.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. Well, with stealth, I should be able to just, you know.
You should be able to rock it out.
No problem.
Yeah,
no problem at all. Exactly. You just needed to know it was there, I guess.
Right.
One quick thing about that Trinket Dills. Is that, do you remember how much those cost in coins?
It's like 20,000 or
something.
Okay,
same as the bow. I'm so tempted to get that bow, but I don't have any good reason for that. I'll probably get it dropped and flexed and beat it long before I need that thing.
That's the thing. The bow is a bigger upgrade for me but I don't know. The trinket just looks so damn good.
Yeah, the trinket does look good.
Might be 50,000 though. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I remember it was much more than I had in my inventory.
Yeah, and I'm earning coins way too slow I just feel like I'm going to end up getting that council bow off of Dingus, Flingus, and He.
Oh yeah, Dingus McGillicuddy.
I'll get it off
Dingus
those Flingus guys. Yeah, and He. I always remember He.
Well, the name we hate the worst is the only one that we can remember. You know,
right? Yeah, He.
Exactly.
All right, everybody he. On He.
He.
Like that's not. Well,
he's attacking.
He's attacking.
Confirms. 50,000.
He hits hard. Yeah, it's stupid.
Sure does.
Well, that's good, Brian.
Yeah, and then just also running LFR, trying to get. So I still never got all my sigils of wisdom back in the previous the patch days.
Dragon Soul stuff? Are you talking?
Yeah.
About? Yeah.
No. Not Dragon Souls. Not the Guardians of Mogoshan and stuff like
right,
that.
Oh, right.
So I need to pick all those up so I can advance my Raytheon quest for the legendary that way.
And how are your wait times for those particular LFRs? They're probably horrible at this point.
No, you know, I'm surprised. I got into one in maybe five to 10 minutes the last time I tried on Wednesday, I guess it was. A lot faster than I expected. And I think it's because there are a lot of people who are probably doing the same thing, like trying to go through that quest, or they're going on to Timeless Isle, getting all these other pieces of gear for their alts, and then running their alts through the LFRs to kind of get, you know, bigger and better.
That's great.
So
I can't get anything in my life done in 10 minutes, let alone LFR never clicks for me that quick.
Right. Yeah. Especially for a way older instance. I mean, it's like like I said, I'm doing the Heart of Fear stuff and the, those drag long slogs through.
Oh, they're rough.
Through all the trash, and then the little water sprite dude who hides, and
yeah, that stuff sucks.
It's such a drag.
Throne of Thunder's got bad stuff as well, but I still have upgrades in TOT, so I really should be doing that more. But I'm a good half hour, 45 minute wait sometimes, and by then I'm off doing something else, and I kind of don't care anymore. So I got to do the same and get back in there.
Yeah, just keep it in the background while you're playing Hearthstone. Oh, I guess you can't. You can't play both at the same time, can you?
No, it won't. Not that I know. I don't think so. I tried it once. I couldn't get both games to go. Now, I can get StarCraft and WoW running at the same time, or Diablo and WoW.
You can get them both to run?
I can get two of the big games to run, but when I tried to run Hearthstone, and maybe it's just because it's beta, I don't know, but I could not get that to run simultaneously. It seems like they'd want to do that, though, right? Like, let people play that while they're flying or while they're waiting.
Say, yeah, throw it in like they did with Bejeweled, and there's like the flight occupy. You know, you're in flight entertainment.
I couldn't wait. See, that's because remember, Bejeweled was before LFG and queuing.
Right.
I think
right.
So people could. So you had to fly to every time you wanted to run anything, you had to go to the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Wrath. No, yeah, it was Wrath. And I remember flying to all these stones and just going, yeah, dude, I'm in the air. It means I can play Bejeweled. And I'd play Bejeweled for like, you know, another 10 minutes. And I couldn't wait to fly somewhere else again. And those were the days. Yeah, bring Hearthstone right up in the UI. That's what I'm asking for.
Would be a little tough, though.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Be
a little tough.
I don't think we're going to get it.
It's quite a little bit. It's a little bit more going on than Bejeweled.
It's got a little bit more of a footprint, you're saying? Than
A little bit.
I think so.
A little more resource heavy, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's great. Well, guess what, folks? More than just our experiences, we have a bunch of big news. So here it is. Big news brought to you by Typefrag. They are the purveyor of the Mumble server we use for our particular raid team. Our Flex Raid team is using Mumble. Typefrag does that as well. We always talk about their Ventrilo service, but Mumble's kind of picking up steam all over the place. And I have to admit, sound quality and lag way better on Mumble than
pretty
it
good.
Is on Steam. I find it to be in some ways very superior product. There's some other things about it I don't love, but here's the beauty of Typefrag. If you want Vent or you want Mumble or you want TeamSpeak, they've got you covered either way. Pick your poison. They'll give you a great deal and you'll love it. Great support. It's never down. We love these guys. Typefrag.com. Go check them out today. Okay. We didn't talk about this last week. Yeah, we didn't have a show last week, so we missed this news. So I just want to mention it. But we have the casting news for the movie. Mm-hmm. Colin Farrell and Paula Patton, lovely.
Ooh, Paula Patton.
She's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Very night elfy is my guess.
I wonder if she's going to be wearing costumes that expose a lot of skin. Just taking a guess.
You don't think so? It'll be like it's all turtlenecks and
Right, but surrounded by rocks, just covered with rocks like a monolith or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't know who they are yet, and we don't know what they're going to play, but I got to think Colin Farrell is going to be a human, and there's been a lot of smack about Farrell. Important. Oh, you think so?
I could totally see Colin Farrell's an orc.
He could be. Mm. But you'd have to, you mean like a full-on green orc with like...
Yeah, then they're going to have to either CGI him and just have him do the voice, or... Or Ferrigno him, and neither one of them. Neither
I'm hoping
one
that
sounds
that's
good.
What they do. Actually, they just paint him green.
Take him to that. That's
a stupid wig.
I would totally prefer that. That would be much better. And have it so that by the end of shooting, parts of his skin have been rubbed off so hard that you see the white man underneath.
Exactly.
I used to love that about the old Hulk show. I can see Ferrigno's ribs through that green paint.
I'm saying human, and if they haven't, and when they have, they will have an orc in there. It's going to be CGI, and they're going to have somebody famous doing the voice for it.
And do you think so? We had a listener send in a call that we're not playing today, but I think it's an interesting question about the orcs themselves and whether or not he wonders if they'll go the easy route, which is to make the humans seem heroic and awesome, and orcs seem terrible and evil and animalistic. And if you go a CGI dude with a voice, you do kind of run the risk of that being a more, like the Hulk is a lot more savage because he's two times bigger than everybody and moves in a way that is different than standard human movement and therefore makes him a little more animalistic by nature. And I think this listener's worried that same thing could happen here. I don't know.
I don't think so. The story of World of Warcraft is not of the orcs being the bad guys. It just isn't.
Yeah.
So.
But the story of Warcraft, if they do this before that time.
All right, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was clear when you bought Orcs and Humans or Warcraft 2.
Yeah, well, definitely then.
Yeah. Yeah. Things were very
but
black
times
and white.
Times have changed. Yeah. And I think they're going to cater to like more of the current. But I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Production begins in January 2014. This says the Warcraft universe is a rich fantasy setting that revolves around the epic conflict between the opposing forces of the Horde and Alliance, says this article. Since its debut in 1994, Warcraft has developed a long, loyal following across the globe with several best-selling, award-winning PC games and a range of popular licensed products, including novels, action figures, apparel, comic books, board games, and more, this according to ComingSoon.net. In related news, so if they start production in January, that sounds about right for what we just heard, and this happened just a couple of days ago. Duncan Jones, son of David Bowie.
That's right.
I hope you make a good movie, son.
Otherwise known as Zoe Bowie.
Zoe Bowie. Right. That was his birth name or something, right?
Yeah. Zoe Bowie.
What a mistake Zoe that
Bowie.
Would have been.
Why would you change it from Zoe Bowie
to Duncan Jones? I think that's obvious.
Because you're not a Marvel secret identity.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Bowie. I think if my name was Zoe Bowie, I'd just be like, screw it. I'm Zoe Bowie.
You're just going to own it?
Accept it. Yeah.
Okay. Duncan Jones, director of the film, who made such hits as... Oh, what was that last one?
Moon.
Well, yeah, there's Moon. But what was the other one? The one with Gyllenhaal.
Which Moon? I don't know if I'm ever going to watch Moon. I will never
I
see Gravity.
Moon.
Oh, yeah, you have I'm a space. You have space fears, don't you?
That's
can't
right.
See it. Can't see it.
You
Everyone's telling me Gravity's amazing. I don't care.
For a future film sack, I watched Event Horizon again last night, and I thought multiple times during that. I wonder how Dills would feel about this scene.
Not good.
Not good is
Dills
the answer.
Like this not part good. Either. Okay.
I really liked Moon. Moon was great, but I can't remember the other one with someone in the chat room. Sorry, I already said it. But what was the Gyllenhaal one? You guys, was it?
Did he do the one with the multiple different outcomes or
yes.
whatever?
Source code.
Thank you. Yeah. That's it. So he did
that's
this.
A good movie.
They're both good movies. He's a talented dude. So I'm excited. But he said that we will be seeing this movie released literally on a date, December 18th, 2015.
Wow. Wow, that's very specific.
Universal Pictures. Production will start early next year, which we've already said, and now they got a release date. So pretty exciting. And I guess the concept reel they showed at Comic-Con still resonated with a lot of people. People are really excited about it, but that thing has yet to be leaked. No one's ever seen it unless you went to Comic-Con and sat in that panel.
Yeah.
In Hall H, is my understanding.
Like, what is in this damn thing that's like the only thing that's never been leaked on the internet?
Right.
It's a picture. I don't know what they did. They superimposed Miami Vice Colin Farrell on top of, I don't know, an old WoW cinematic. And there you have
right.
it. Blew their minds.
That movie was on TV the other day and still doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like the whole plot is busted, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm a big Michael Mann fan. I love his movies. And I love Miami Vice as just kind of the whole, as the core. But
I was excited for that movie.
And I love how it looked and sounded and felt. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the hell they were doing.
I was watching it and I was like, wait, why are they on a boat right now? What? Wait, what? Who is this guy? Like, right. It was just one of those things.
I want to see that in the theater with you. You're one of those guys that just out loud like, what?
Who is what? That?
How did he get in the
Who
boat?
Is that?
Oh, this doesn't make any sense.
He didn't have a gun when he walked in.
Yeah. Didn't they kill that guy?
I love that idea. All right, moving on. Blizzard, this happened this week. Blizzard filed trademark for Heroes of the Storm. So we've had a couple of, what was the Dark Below was the one everybody was sure was the next expansion. This is what the trademark description is, and it doesn't say much, but the U.S. PTO page, that's the U.S. patent something, what's the TO stand for?
Trademark.
Trade office, is that it?
Trademark, I think.
Trademark office? U.S. patent and trademark office, that's probably it.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Ugly. Sure.
Let's say that.
It's
ugly Stephanie put tacos over there. That's what it stands for. Says it's for the general list of computer games and downloadable software. The notable smidgen of info is that it also covers, quote, downloadable electronic game software for use on portable electronic devices such as mobile and cellular phones, laptops, handheld computers, and tablet PCs. That's a little weird.
No, that just means Hearthstone.
Probably so dark. So
maybe it's
Heroes
like an
of the
expansion for
yeah,
yeah.
That's what I see. That's where I'm leaning toward. That's what I'm leaning toward because you got the word heroes in there.
Sure.
Not that it has to, but that's the subtitle of the other one. So Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm.
I think this might be the first like content expansion name.
Yeah.
So when this hits, we're gonna get like monks and DKs and a bunch of new cards and
they do this ahead of time. That's how
play modes and stuff. Yeah.
So. I still maintain, and I know that there's been some credible discounting of this idea, but I still think Dark Below has more to do with WoW than this does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think this is probably Hearthstone related. So
I think we're going underground for WoW in the next expansion, and this is, I think, Hearthstone for sure.
All right. Well, then I think we're probably looking at BlizzCon before we hear anything about either of these two things. I mean, if my belief holds true that we're still going to get full-blown launch of this before November or the weekend of the 6th and 8th and whatever the hell it is, and I think we are still, my bet is still, we get full blown Hearthstone out, iPad app out before, BlizzCon. Then that gives them an opportunity at BlizzCon to say, and here's our first content expansion. It'll be out this coming spring or something. Mm-hmm.
That would be really awesome. Except then I will not participate at any BlizzCon activities because I will just be playing Hearthstone on my iPad.
I know, dude. I didn't even think about that. If that's out that's all we're going to be doing in that room.
Yeah, I know. We'll just be in there like, what's your tag? Let's play.
May as well be home, right. You know?
You could run a little tournament in there.
Right.
Great.
I'm pretty excited about all that.
Yeah, I cannot wait to play. Because here's the thing. I will fall asleep before 2 a.m. if I can be already in bed when I'm playing my arenas.
Right. This will be better
Problem
for
is,
you.
I got to be up in front of the computer, sitting there with my headphones on. No. Yeah. I want to be in bed with an iPad playing Hearthstone.
Yep. You're describing my dream.
It's my dream.
You dream about dills in bed.
Yeah, you dream about me in bed playing Hearthstone on iPad.
Every
pretty
night.
Weird, but okay.
Every night. All right. So anyway, we'll see what all that's about. Heroes of the Storm, everybody. Every time they're starting to get kind of the old Apple mystique. Whenever they'd register something new, everybody flips out and starts speculating up and down the wall. And what's funny is we tend to miss the big ones. So when Hearthstone was first announced, before that nobody had any idea. There was no leaks. Nobody had any idea what was coming from WoW. Yet these things happen and everyone's got a billion ideas of what it's going to be, and they're usually wrong. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Norm MacDonald's theory on Breaking Bad's final episode. Yeah,
careful.
I'm not saying another word about it. I get in too much trouble on my shows for bringing that up, but that's all I'll say.
People still haven't watched it by now?
Yeah, there are people. There are people like in season one going, don't you? I waited for the whole thing to be done.
I know, but you know, still.
I know. I agree.
If you waited this long, you don't care. You really don't care. You don't care enough anymore.
You don't love Walter White as much as we do.
No, that's right.
Not as much as I do. I was there.
You don't
that
love
day.
To, you don't love to hate him as much as we do. That's how I would say it. Whoops, I've said too much.
So you're not Team Walter? Ugh.
I'm not Team Walter.
I'm Team Walter.
I'm Team. Yeah. I'm Team. Team I have Jesse. To be careful here. I'm always Team Jesse.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But I think I'm Team. I'm Team Vince Gilligan is who I am.
Thank you for being on my team, Scott. It's a real pleasure to
like some
pleasure
nice old,
have you supporting me and
some nice tea out here on the porch.
Looking forward to my next show, which is going to be about a woman who sells ecstasy out of the back of a. Studebaker. She's going to use my I have actually drive around in a Studebaker with
have you guys seen the
a mint julep dispenser in the dashboard.
A mint julep dispenser.
Have you guys seen the meme where they were like, what if Breaking Bad was set in Canada?
No.
It was, like, yes. It was like, you've got cancer. End of show.
You just get treated and you'd be fine.
It's like you've got right, cancer. Exactly. Oh, well, call the insurance.
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah. Let's see. Finally. Oh, we did talk about this kind of at length already, but Hearthstone did get its wipe. Mm-hmm. This is now the game we'll have pretty much at launch. They've said no more wipes. I mean, maybe more patches, but no more wipes after this. They seem to be holding strong to this idea that, and there are people who are really mad about this, that if you're in the beta and there aren't going to be any more wipes. What you have now is what you will have going into the game. You're not going to get wiped again right before the end. If you earn a bunch of cards or buy a bunch of cards, those are yours to have at launch, thus giving you at least a random play advantage, not an arena advantage, but a random play advantage over other players. And some people are really ticked about this.
Yeah, but you know what? Those people need to relax because it's not that big of a deal. The thing is that this to me means now they've already opened up a new wave of beta invites for opt-ins.
Right.
So this a bunch week. Of people got new invites. Yeah
tons of them. I think I've heard from more people this time than we did the first round.
There's a ton. There's a ton of them. But the other thing too is that this game, while technically people can say, oh, it's pay to win, this game is less pay to win than almost any other TCG or CCG I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the best cards in the game are common cards that everybody has access to, honestly. Like, even the legendaries are, like, every single legendary, while it's great, it's legendary, it's got all that, you know, whatever cool stuff, they all can be answered by basic cards. Yeah. And
they're situational, right? They're pretty situational.
Yeah, they're totally situational. Yeah. If you want to see, like, I think Total Biscuit made some deck that had, like, 20 legendaries in it, and it was, like, a struggle to win. You know, you can't just load your deck up with all the most expensive cards and that insta wins games for you. It's just not how this game works. So I understand you're mad, but you can relax.
There's no need to boycott it when it comes out and abstain because of some principle here.
And Arena is no pay to win. It's impossible to pay to win in Arena.
Yeah.
And that's what you should be playing anyway.
Arena is play to win.
Play to win.
See what I did there? Mm-hmm. I turned it on its head, suckers.
From pay to added win. An L,
right.
And then suddenly it was a different thing.
White Top in the chat room mentioned that I'm probably Team Ermintrout, and he's right. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I love Mike Ermintrout. All right. I've said too much again.
Everybody does, though.
A note about what's going on in this update. Daily quests, that's now a thing. And
well,
more
so
of them.
Daily quests were always a thing, but now what you do is you get an option. So rather than before it would say, win 5 games as a druid.
Right.
Now it'll say win 5 games as a druid or a hunter.
Yeah.
And you get to decide which one you want.
More choice.
Which is basically to satisfy the people who were like, well, I have no idea how to play a hunter and I don't want to try. I don't want to learn.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And so now you don't have to do
it. Yeah, I like that. More balance fixes. Let's see. Golden cards are more animated. So again, they've just become more collectible. They're still not... You know, better
this
statistically,
new,
but
more,
it's
right,
pretty cool.
Right.
Some new cool ones. Like Gelbin's is much cooler now than it was before.
Yeah.
As far as the balance fixes, all you really need to know is rogues nerfed, druids slightly nerfed, warriors, priests buffed.
Yeah. I had a handful of other cards that were gold. Oh, I had them before the wipe. And most were not animated, but one was like those void mummies. What are they called?
Void mummies.
Yeah, I always call them void mummies. The guys that have the void storage and they do your transmog and all that. What's their names?
Yeah, ethereals.
Ethereals.
Oh, the ethereals. Yeah.
I always call them the void mummies because they look like mummies. But anyway, they are that dude's so coolly animated in the gold card I have now. Yeah. So it made me hope then, and it sounds like this is coming to fruition. And they say in the patch notes there are even more coming, but. I really like the idea that even though these are normal cards statistically, the idea that you could end up building an entire deck of collected gold versions of everything gold. Is really cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
I like it.
I'm not going to do that, though, because all I care about is the stats, so I'm going to dust every gold card I get.
Yeah, you probably should because they're worth more.
Yeah, you get more dust for gold cards. Yeah.
You're not one to be pulled away by shiny trinkets.
Nah, I don't care about the shinies.
You're all about the gear.
I just want to. I want to turn those shinies into the cards I need.
Brian, is it you that collects? Or was I can't remember if you were not. Weren't you a Magic card collector guy for a while or
Tristan,
something?
Well, Tristan does. No, I never did Magic cards. Thank God. But I did the World of Warcraft loot cards.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't care about the shinies.
And you never really played with them. You just like the cool.
Never.
Art.
Yeah. Never. Well, I think Tristan and I tried one game of the TCG and. Never got into it. So, hey, if there's anyone who wants boxes and boxes of non-loot WoW cards, let's talk.
Yeah.
Hit me up.
Big
they're not
deal.
Making them anymore, but you can still play that game
sure.
as much as you want.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They're not making them anymore?
No, they're done.
Oh, wow. They're moving all of it over to Hearthstone.
They basically,
I should have listened to the instance.
Remember that time we told you? I feel like that was, I still think this is true, that they just couldn't, not that they couldn't hack it, but it's hard for you to go in from the angle of video game to tabletop and really capture the attention of all the hardcores out there. A lot of people are put off immediately by the idea that, oh, your video game's going to come in here and try to wrestle away Magic time. No, thank you. And the same is going to be true of Magic trying to compete with Hearthstone, to be honest, on a digital side.
Right.
So
right.
I think that they at some point went, well, we had a good run. It was 7 years of this. It did okay. It's not the worst thing ever, and the loot system was cool, and that worked well as a crossover. But let's just throw all of our guts and resources behind the thing we do best, which is not printing a bunch of paper, but making a bunch of digital things happen.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I think that's smart for them,
and it's obviously the right thing.
Yeah, I think some people are mad about it, and I wouldn't be that surprised that you could see a reversal here if Hearthstone takes off and becomes this huge thing after the launch, which I think it has the potential to do. That they couldn't go the other direction and release a home version of Hearthstone or some kind of TCG equivalent or some small standalone board game or something that ties into Hearthstone. Because again, it all just comes down to popularity. If Hearthstone is an independently very popular thing in and outside of WoW community, that can justify all sorts of ideas.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they do it. One last thing. Method killed a heroic Garage 25 man. World first. Way to go, Method. Method Man. We stopped rapping. Came in and said, you know what? Actually, is he a rapper, Method Man? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay.
He well, he's a rapper / actor.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Method.
He's a method actor.
He's a method. great. Method was on the road to glory as it was last time we checked in, and they did it. Garage 25 man. World first. Way to go, guys.
The race is over. Everybody go home now.
Yep, you're done. Everybody go home. I wonder when that happens, do they still all vie for second and third? Like they keep on
the race
playing?
To world second?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's actually that's the sequel.
It's the new movie.
Race to world first. Yeah.
We'll narrate that,
race
everybody.
To world second.
Look for us narrating that that horrible second place.
not quite as popular a documentary, no. but a good follow-up if you're still looking for something else to watch after the first one.
Race to world last. That's when they bring in Coy and Vance Duke to take our places and be the worst thing ever. So there you go. Congratulations to Method. We're proud of you. All right. Time for a little of this. World of tweets.
Tweets, tweets.
Tweets, tweets. Couple of tweets from Greg Street. Replies to questions on the internet. Seemed interesting to talk about on the show. And here it is. Might be a short-term fix, but do you think making vanity items account-bound might help a little with bag space concerns, asks a concerned Twitter follower of Greg's. And Greg said, would it be weird to get a lot of duplicate items from say, quests the second and third time around? I think he means said quests. That's an interesting point. So there's a lot of times where I'm like, man, I wish I could just give these to my alts. Like, Let's just have all these weird, funky bits like vanity items or whatever. Just be bound to everything and let's just do it. Mm-hmm. And then he makes a good point. You don't want to wake up one day and your guy's got a trillion things in his bag you didn't plan on, or it's all in the mail and you got to go manually deal with it or whatever. So maybe there's something to that. I think what people really want is if I open a vanity item, let's say it's, I don't know, let's say it's my gumbo thing that I always put down and people burp for half an hour. Mm-hmm. If I could just have that automatically be somewhere on my other character that isn't taking up bag space necessarily, maybe that'd be
like
all right.
Separate vanity UI.
Yeah, like a pane.
Right. Like right. Kind of like you have with your pets. You
know, pets
have
a vanity. And notes. Yes.
It could be cool if they had like, like the way that they do it with the pets amounts, where it'd be cool if you could see the ones you don't have and then you could go try to get them.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that idea.
Great little checklist.
And some of them will, you know, say, oh, you can only get the Sulu loot card. Too bad. So sad or whatever. But yeah, it would be a fun way to have a goal. Like I do that with pets and mounts now.
Yeah.
And the reason, I mean, remember folks, the old days where your pet, any pets you had, vanity pets or any mount you had, were a slot in your inventory system. And if you wanted to switch between five mounts, all five of those had to take up inventory.
In your bags, yeah.
In your bags. You had to keep a horse in your bag. Think about that.
I had a horse in my bag for a long time. And that horse had flaming legs on my warlock, right. And it was just in my bag.
It's like, is your back hurt? I got this Kodo back here. It's killing me. So that was also dumb, and so they had a solution for it. I suspect at some point, because vanity items are a bigger deal, and I think there's going to be more Hearthstone crossover with vanity items, kind of replace the whole loot card solution.
Yeah.
When that happens, you're going to have a better solution, I think, for managing this. So my suspicion is a new three-paned thing that will be pets, mounts, and this vanity stuff, whatever you're going to call it.
The one problem that they're going to have, though, is if they ever introduce loot cards in Hearthstone, is someone who doesn't play World of Warcraft is going to just bitch and moan like, one of my arena, you know, rewards was this card. I'm not even going to use this. I can't trade it. It's a CCG, not a TCG. And it's going to be
A mess.
Annoying. Yeah. So they might have to figure something out before they actually do that.
Another question went to Greg that said, and there's always LFR talk going on right now about how LFR is not what it needs to be or not what it was meant to be. And this guy says, one of the reasons LFR is toxic is because it's easy. If it was hard, people would be forced to make it work.
No.
He says, that's a nice sentiment. Okay, and Greg agrees with you. He says, that's a nice sentiment, but we found the reality is players just bail rather than trying to make random matchmaking work. With groups of friends or even organized pugs, we find that it's much less likely. Well, of course, that's why. I mean, think about it. If you went there with 25 random people you don't like already because someone said something dumb or whatever, and now you're supposed to work together like buddies? No one's doing that.
No. But the thing is, if it was harder, it would be more toxic, not less toxic. Because if it's really hard, everyone's going to just bitch and moan at each other because it's never anybody's fault.
Right.
It's always the other guy's fault.
Right.
So everyone will be talking about how everybody in there is a noob. It's you know, go into a battleground and just watch the crap be flung around in chat. It would be the same exact thing. And what you need is you need to be so simple it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You can ignore those people and still get through the raid. And that's just, unfortunately, that's just the psychology of it. So if you think about a real world analog to this, if you threw 25 people in a room and said, all right, you guys, your goal is to build an ice sculpture in 30 minutes and you have to all work together to do it, it is going to be terrible, a mess. Everyone's going to blame people for stuff, and a bunch of people are going to walk out of that room. But if you put them in a room and say, I know we don't know each other, but all 25 of us are the only survivors. There is a zombie apocalypse outside, and they're raging, and the only way that we can survive is figure out what's in this building, what we can salvage, and then we've got to work together to survive. Then that works because the stakes are different.
No, I just kill everybody, and I take all the stuff.
Dills is the worst guy to have.
Look. I can only trust one guy here, and that's me.
I'm looking out for number one. You're the dude in Left 4 Dead with the suit on that's like taking money out of the cash register. That's you.
That's right. I got to clear, Scott.
Oh, I hate that guy. If you guys ever see the remake of Dawn of the Dead, Phil Dunphy plays that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the actor. I forget his real name, but he is that dude in that movie, and he is such a dick in that movie. And it'll weird you out too, Brian. You'll watch that and just go, like, I had it the verse.
Phil, what are you doing?
I had it the reverse way. So I saw that first because it came out in like 04 and then Modern Family later. And the first few episodes, I'm like, I can't, that guy's just a dick. I can't take him seriously as a funny man, you know, as a funny, nice father guy.
Right.
And now I'm fine with it. But at the time it was really rough. So you should watch Dawn of the Dead. It was also a really good Zack Snyder joint. It's maybe one of his better movies. It's worth seeing.
Did you ever think, though, Scott, maybe that guy just lost his son to a zombie apocalypse, and he just lost his cool.
Lost all his morality, all his sense of, I understand that. Well, Dills, I hope if this happens, I'm not in the same 25-man group you are.
Don't worry, Scott. I think I can trust you.
Okay. All right. You're going to have to help me. All right.
You're going to have to help me kill all 23 other people, though.
Dude, you're the governor, dude. That's what you are. You're the governor.
Put that rogue up as a human shield.
Brian, we'll keep you around, too.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
All right, well,
good. But you two will have to fight each other with chained zombies around and just for the entertainment of everybody.
Of course we will. Right. Of course we will.
Part of the deal.
I'm looking forward to it.
Governor Thunderdome.
Who runs by the town?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Oh, yeah, it's the Town Crier. This is where we take your emails, your calls, and we talk about them. Brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com, where still Henry gets you double the memory. This is the year to get a PC, guys. You're worried. You're thinking, man, new consoles this fall. What to do? What to do? Well, I can already tell you that a new Doghouse system is going to outperform that PS4 or that Xbox One you have on pre-order. That I can guarantee you. It's never been a better time with Steam and with games like WoW and what Blizzard's doing in general. Could you ask for a better time for PCs? I don't think you could.
No, you can't.
You can't. So
I tried, but you can't.
Even bother.
Tried and failed. Don't bother. Go to doghousesystems.com. That's doghousesystems.com. Use the code Henry. Get double the RAM right now at doghousesystems.com. All right. If you want to leave us a message and have it played on the show, you can call us 206-202-3WOW. That's 206-202-3969. Or email us at email us at
the electronic version of Mellus.
Exactly. Email us. Theinstance@gmail.com is where you would send that. Those can be attachments or written emails. We'll take either. Here's our first call about turning off buffs when we're trying to level.
Hey there, guys. So I started leveling an alt from 85 to 90, and after the first two zones in Pandaria, I'm almost level 89. I did have a bit of rested XP to begin with, but I'm not using any heirlooms. Leveling's just too darn fast. What are your thoughts on, like, a system where you'd be able to turn on or off, like, the buff to leveling, depending on how you wanted to level or how long you wanted it to take? Love the show.
All right, so it's not unlike other questions we've had recently about, you know, turning off XP, which you can do.
You can do that.
All right, yep. You know, other ways of slowing down the progression. And I am with this guy. Two zones into miss is too fast to get to 90. Like, that's just ridiculous to me.
That's pretty quick.
And it's not so much, I mean, maybe it isn't to the player. Maybe some players don't care. But I have to think from Blizzard's perspective, they'd love all that other content not to go to waste like that. Yeah. So the idea, what's never been floated before is this idea of saying, turn off my heirloom bonus, turn off my other buff bonuses, turn off my arrested XP bonus, and let me just take this at a pace that's a little bit more vanilla than it would have been otherwise. Again, I feel like these are things that Blizzard would have to throw resources at and probably don't, based on their statistics, what they're seeing on servers, probably don't think it's that big of a deal, like that there aren't that many people who would want to voluntarily slow things down. Because, you know, I mean, philosophically, I agree with it. This idea of being able to say, no, I really want to slowly go through this stuff. And there's certainly players who do that. But I think the vast majority of players are like, dude, I'm 90 already. Sweet. Let's raid. Or let's
According to our calls on this show, this is like the biggest problem in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, if you gauge it on this, just on our show, this is weird evidence that that's the biggest deal everyone's dealing with.
I don't know. I just say level to 90 and just keep playing through the stuff. You still get to see the content. I don't know. To me, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird to be in the same expansion cycle and have that expansion content seem like it's going so much faster before we're even into the next
one. The content itself isn't going fast. You're just leveling fast. That's, I don't know. To me, I wouldn't mind. I'll be level 90 and I'll just, you know, continue. Like right now I'm at level 90 and I'm going back and finishing quests that I didn't do the first time through and like kind of enjoying seeing the stuff I didn't see. So
maybe that's the answer.
I don't know.
Like Brian, if you, how quick did you hit 90 and how much did you have left? Did you feel like you cleared things out pretty good?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm kind of one of the type of players that is super thorough. I've got to do, if not every quest, then as many as I can find. Like, you know, look around for more clusters of quests. Even if I've already out-leveled an area, I'm going to stay there and try and finish everything up. And I hate having unfinished quests in my log.
Oh, that's the worst, right? All it those is, white yeah. and so, green ones, you're like, damn it.
So
I always have unfinished quests. I have 25 quests at all time.
And I'm really? Just
like, oh, this one is so far away. I should probably delete it, but I won't.
Dude, I gotta go find Mancrick's wife again. Oh, yeah.
you're like hoarders on A&E, except it's all quests.
Yeah, I don't
quests.
Know. Yeah, right. So you lift up all my quests, and there's just dead cats under there. It's everywhere.
Dead quests under newspapers.
Newspapers.
Wow.
So I mean, obviously, that would be a bummer for me to, you know, take an alt up and really quickly level, and then feel like I'm really just going through the motions in these areas without any sort of challenge. It's like, all right, well. Put me on auto attack, throw me in the middle of an area, and I'm sure I'll get all the pelts and whatever goblins I need to finish that zone.
Yeah. No, I understand. I feel like I'm a little bit of a combination of the two of you. If I get to 90 and I see I didn't finish too much of quests, I kind of have this feeling of, well, I don't want to go do more of that because I'm already the thing I was trying to be, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll get out of there. But anything I've got in my log, I feel like I need to go clear that stuff out. And by doing that, I don't feel good about deleting it. To me, that's like leaving money on the table.
But you'll walk into an area and see a bunch of exclamation points after you've hit 90 and say, oh, maybe I don't want to take on that quest. I'll finish what I've got, but I don't want to accept any new ones.
Yeah, and it always bites me in the ass because I'll be doing something and I'll go, hey, Matt, Dark Anders, Karan, I'll say, dude, how do I get that thing? I don't remember even seeing that. He goes, oh, well, you need to finish the Talon Steps Bull Schmidt down there. And I'll go, oh, you mean where all those exclamation points are? Shite.
The only way you can progress to go into this instance. Yeah.
This is the thing, is that I think one of the major problems is everybody's looking at quests as, the only reward of these quests is experience and leveling up. And that's not the case. I mean, the quests themselves are the reward in a lot of situations. The
story.
The doing it and getting the story and participating in this world of Warcraft is part of the deal. So you have to think of the rewards not just being XP. Mm. Like once the XP is done, that doesn't mean the rewards are done. It doesn't mean you have to leave the zone. You can still do all the stuff because it still has a purpose.
I agree.
Still helps you.
I agree.
And the gold.
Indeed.
And the gold.
And the gold. Don't forget the gold. Okay, now one of my favorite ideas we've ever gotten on the show. It's an extension of all this conversation we've had on the show about new player models coming, which we have been told are coming. And this is an awesome idea for the undead. Check it out.
Hey, Instance Crew. This is Bunsen from Black Dragon Clan on Asgalor US. I had a thought about the new character models that I hadn't really heard anybody else discuss yet. I was wondering what you thought about the idea that Forsaken might be able to use other race character models for their character models. Lore-wise, with Sylvanas raising everyone else that's fallen before her, might be kind of neat to have an undead worgen or an undead night elf as your Forsaken character model. Tell me what you think. Have a great day.
I love that idea. Mm. And yeah, it would be just bony. You know, like imagine like the bears that you would see in that. I can't remember the forest, but they were the same bear thing, but they all like bones and flesh sticking out of them.
And stuff. Right. Kind of like Marvel Zombies versions of you.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
So instead of all being just, you know, these humanized models, in fact, this, if to me, this seems easier because they don't have to come up with a new undead model, male and female. All they have to do is use everyone else's and then augment them with torn flesh and bones sticking out.
The problem, though, is that the plague doesn't hit every single race.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
It's like a human-only thing.
But like he said in the thing, though, when Sylvanas rolls into your town and lays waste to your people, those people join her army. So the idea could be, you'd have to really fish this into the lore a little bit, but the idea, well, here's where it breaks, all right? So you could do that, and you could say, oh, yeah, you fall before me and become one of my minions. Great. That makes sense on that level. But then if you want to go change who you look like because that's your thing, are you going to go into one of the hair places?
And get a patchy.
Yeah.
Right.
Go into the salon. I'd like to walk out of here a freaking tauren with a bunch of flesh hanging off me. How about that?
Right.
Like that all gets a little bit weird, but If you
I do actually, I think I might be wrong. I think it's not just humans, but I do think worgens cannot be undead.
Oh, really?
There's something about
so maybe they'd leave some of those out or something.
I remember something from the story, but there's so long. My worgen is literally level 10.
Mm.
Got out of the worgen starting zone, logged out.
I would play a fat undead panda though.
But I think chat room's got to know. Let's see what the chat room.
Imagine a panda, dude, just like. I don't know, look like a boomer from Left 4 Dead, right. Just like a big, fat, dead-eyed
half
panda.
Yeah. One eye, yeah, like, dangling panda. Out like a stuffed animal.
Yeah. Just like Lore Walker Cho after a really bad car accident or something.
Right.
That'd be awesome. Right. Good calls today, guys. Thanks for that. Got a quick email here. This is from Tim. This is one of the most short and sweet emails ever. It says, hey, guys, I unsubbed from WoW. I'm going to wait till the next expansion. I got so sick of having to wait in a queue for 45 minutes to die with a bunch of douchebags for 2 hours.
Carl. God damn it, Carl.
Carl, damn, go home. You're drunk.
Get back in the house, Carl.
That seems to be, or we're about that time in the cycle, though, right? This is when people do this. They start to burn out, frustrate out. Wait for the next expansion.
So this email came after 5.4?
Yeah, yeah.
God, well, I feel like there's so much new stuff in 5.4 to enjoy. Wow.
I agree. I've never had as much fun with an expansion as I'm having with, or not expansion, but a patch.
I think rather than just unsubbing because you're sick of waiting in a queue for 45 minutes, just don't queue for anything.
Right.
Do other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Do other
stuff. Exactly. There isn't plenty of stuff to do. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, Tim, I feel for you, buddy.
Yeah. Things are working out. I feel for you too, buddy. Two hours with douchebags sounds like a terrible rom-com, really bad romantic comedy.
New Ashton Kutcher joint.
Indeed. All right.
It's like the Jersey Shore movie.
That's right. Can't wait for that thing. It's coming, you know.
The drop of the week.
All right, drop of the week this week is BlizzCon 2013 in-game goodies announced. This is the in-game stuff you'll get with your swag bags, and I believe the digital virtual ticket will also receive these as well. You will get the World of Warcraft Crusader Murloc pet. It's pretty awesome. He's based on the new Crusader class in the Diablo expansion, Reaper of Souls, and it looks great. I totally would.
Like, yeah, cool little helmet on him. It's really slick.
I love how the Murloc is like the the straight up BlizzCon gift every time.
The mascot. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
And I love that. So collecting
it's
them
tradition.
All.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Don't break tradition.
It is tradition. We had the, let's see, 2010, it was the little StarCraft Marine Murloc.
Right. And Mercado or Merca.
Mercalo. No, what was he called?
Mercablo.
Mercablo was the Diablo
one. Yeah. Best name ever.
And they got the one that's basically. What's his name? The dragon. And my brain just went dead. So Dragon Soul. What's wrong with me?
Deathwing?
Deathwing.
Yeah. Jeez.
Deathwing,
yeah.
Basically the Deathwing, Deathy or whatever he's called. Like, I love the trend, so keep that up. Crusader Murloc pet looks awesome. He's got a big old sword and a big dumb helmet, and it's awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty cool looking.
You'll get a Diablo 3 banner. You'll get a StarCraft 2 portrait and decal, which, as always, once again, the most boring part of the giveaway.
It really is.
It's like, here's an avatar photo. Not interested.
Somebody spent time on that, though, Scott.
Indeed. Now, the one I'm really curious about is the Hearthstone commemorative card.
No, it's Mystery Minion.
Mm, yeah.
Ah, I want it.
I know. I was thinking about you. I was like, this is going to piss him off till he gets
up. Oh, God, I want it.
Now, I don't know, because they've shrouded it in mystery, put a big question mark on the image, does that mean that it'll be a random thing for everybody? Or will it be the same thing for everybody?
Yeah, I'm guessing the same thing for everybody, kind of like.
Probably the same thing. I mean, there could be... There's a lot of randomness in Hearthstone. It could be like a thing where it's a couple of different options, but I don't think that they would make a whole bunch of different options.
Well, you could play a lot with mana cost, hit points, and damage points, and randomize that for some sort of minion.
And you know there'll be some little icon on there that says BlizzCon 2013 exclusive or something like that.
Something like that, actually.
On the card, yeah.
Maybe it'll be a Geek Is picture of Chris Metzen with his big face on there just going, Geek Is!
Zero, that's what happens when he comes out.
Zero cost, zero damage. Right. 10 life. Give him 10 life. That makes perfect sense to me. Anyway, we have links to this. It's also on the site. Theinstance.net has a big write-up that Paul Swickard, our fantastic intern, put together. So you can learn all about what your virtual stuff will yield and what's in the bag as well. Although I don't think we know what's in the bag. All the other physical stuff, I don't think we've been told yet. What's in the bag?
Yeah, I know. That's... Oh, it's going to be so, so cool seeing that.
Pepper Potts' head will be in the...
Oh,
spoiler. What's the statute of limitations on that movie?
I think you're allowed to spoil 7.
I think so, too.
Seven years is the statute of limitations.
It's fine. Guys, it was Pepper Potts.
Because that movie was like 96, what, 7? I think 97, so right. Plenty of time. You're all too late. All right, one quick note. We're not doing a contest this week, but during the week we ran one for a Hearthstone beta key. We gave it away already. We did this over Twitter. I want to thank everybody for participating. Freaking thousands of you got in there and put your name in, which made it harder, I guess, from a math standpoint for you to be chosen randomly. The odds were kind of stacked, but Howard P. sent that to us. I wanted to give him big thanks because we didn't get another chance to shout him out and thank him for his key. He donated it to the show. Nice. And to all those who immediately emailed me and said, hey, did Blizzard give you a bunch of new numbers? I totally want one. No, it came from Howard P. Howard P. gave it to me.
Howard P.
All right. Well, that's basically a show, folks. I can't think of anything else going on. Brian, having you here is a blast. That was a ball.
Oh, it was a great time. It's fun actually doing a show where we don't talk about Miley Cyrus or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we could.
Okay.
All right,
do that real quick.
All right.
So what's going on with Miley, you guys?
That'll be next year's BlizzCon. We'll be Murloc dressed up as the VMA's Miley Cyrus.
Brilliant.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's ask this question.
Click on her and she twerks.
If they made a minion... Let's say they made a minion card or a legendary with Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball naked. What would her special be? So you've got, you know, I assume she's going to have probably 8 and 8 or something. Give her something high. But what would she have as
you
a special?
So? Yeah, I don't know. I think she's pretty skinny. Mm-hmm. I think you can probably take her down. Maybe she's a 1-3.
1-3. Okay. She's 1-3. But she's got to have something special. What can she do?
What's the battle cry? Annoys the crap out of everybody around her.
That's right. Like some sort of tongue power.
Battle cry makes terrible music and... You can't stop talking about her.
It's perfect away. Right, exactly.
You can't stop and you won't stop.
Damn it. Yeah. Battle cry can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. Dancing with Molly. Yeah. Right. Got it. Well, all right. Sounds good to me. Brian, where can people check you out all week?
Well, they can find me right here on the Frog Pants Network on shows like The Morning Stream and Film Sack. And, of course, Coverville over there, coverville.com. It's all here. Actually, it's all part of the Frog Pants Ultra feed. So subscribe to that. And you'll get all my stuff along with all the other goodies you get.
You won't be sad. And, of course, Coverville on Twitter. Follow him.
Yes.
And, check him out there as well.
Facebook and all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, all those things.
Follow Coverville.
You really should do that. You should get Coverville on there. And the covers.
MySpace.
Right. MySpace. Right? That's still a thing. Is that still a thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's still bands using it, unfortunately.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it's pretty much just for bands now, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Even with the changes they made, it's still... I mean, you know, if you're in a band, and I'm sure a lot of bands listen to the show, get over to Band...
I know one.
SoundCloud and...
like Bandcamp.
Bandcamp and SoundCloud. Those are the places you want
to
go.
Yeah, I'm looking at this now. Boy, they
so
really...
Same Sex Mary, since you're the only band that listens to this show.
Yeah. We assume. Well, good stuff. Dills, what are you up to this week? People should be looking at other than this show?
Well, I'm pretty proud of the fact that Moby Dickbutt is now following me on Twitch. So stoked about that.
Sure glad you brought that one up. This is a seminal moment for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all that's really going on with me. It's just, you know, thinking about Moby Dickbutt.
Yeah, and streams and stuff. You're still streaming on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, I'm. That's pretty much what I do is stream Hearthstone these days. But I will be at some point, we're already in talks, starting a little bit of a Hearthstone podcast.
Yeah.
With one Garrett Weinzierl.
That's Starcast, right.
Yep. And one Jocelyn Moffat.
Whoa. Perhaps. I am familiar with both of those people. And I'm very excited to hear this because... it gives us it's a perfect sort of attachment, sort of offshoot from the instance. There's a lot of sort of connective tissue there.
Yeah.
And B, I think it's really important people get some really meaty Hearthstone stuff, outside of the show. And that's where this show's going to come in. I'm stoked.
There's actually several, pretty decent Hearthstone podcasts out there already. But, you know, we want to do one for the Frog Pants people because I know there's a lot of the Frog Panthers who are playing that game and really like that game. So it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we have like a good mix of the casual to the more hardcore. Me being the casual.
Yeah, of course. The guy that just barely plays at all and sort of knows, you know, kind of thinks he might play a mage or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably just play Mage because that's the one they gave me.
Right, that's how they started you.
Oh, yeah. I'll just play that one forever.
It's unfortunate because I actually think the Mage gets short shrift a little bit from players because they just think she's the
basic class.
Yeah, yeah, like your tutorial class. But there's plenty going on with the Mage.
Mage is badass. Yeah. Mage is badass. There's not a lot of things more fun than putting that little aimer with a pyroblast over the hero and just holding it there for like a good 5-6 seconds and watching that big fiery ball spin around.
I would call it satisfactory. Well, good. Well, watch for that. We will, of course, be all up in that and let people know where it's at. It'll be on the mega feed, and you know, it'll be real easy to get when all of that happens. And
we just need a name.
No ETA, right?
We need a name. Well, the ETA is actually, it could happen very, very soon. All right. We shall see.
All right.
But trying to convince them that we need to call it Angry Chicken, but I don't know. We'll see.
I like Angry Chicken.
We'll see.
Only good chicken is an angry one. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, of course, follow Dills on Twitter as well at Willie Dills. I want to thank Matthew Oxley out there for making our theme music. MatthewOxley.com is the website. You can go check out more stuff he's done. He is a freaking genius, and we love him. Leave a review on iTunes and other podcast directories. We love that. Thanks to intern Paul Swickard for all his great work on the show, forum, show notes, archives, and more, including special stuff he's been writing up over there at theinstance.net. Don't forget to check out The Instance TV, where I'm trying feverishly to get something up before the weekend. Things are a little nuts, so I'm not sure it's going to happen, but you can catch that at theinstance.net/TV or on YouTube. And I got a new show coming up real soon. On Twitter, you can find the show at Instance Show, me at Scott Johnson. You can find Terpster, who's not here today, but usually you can find him at the_T. On Facebook, /TheInstance, you can find more great shows just like this. frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, for Brian, and for wherever Terpster is. We'll see you next time.
Job's done.
Fest threatened with shutdown. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The dwarves of Ironforge are no strangers to interclan rivalries, but the bitter acrimony in the underground city has recently risen to unprecedented levels. The cause? A faction of the Bronzebeard clan known as the Dark Ale Party. They have not taken well to the influx of poorer Wildhammer and Dark Iron dwarves that have recently come to the city, and accuse the Council of the Three Hammers of being too generous with benefits for dwarves of lesser means. Despite the fact that they make up at most a quarter of the dwarven population, the Dark Ales are determined to see their political beliefs become council policy. Yesterday, their leader, Red Dour Brews, upped the ante, blockading the storehouses containing the stocks of beer for Brewfest. He demanded that the council's recent laws be rolled back as the price for letting the beer flow again. But after an all-night harangue by Red, where he compared those who disagree with him to the Lich King, the blockade ended this morning. It turns out that one thing that the 75% of dwarves can agree on is that shutting down Brewfest is a really, really stupid idea. The crowd overwhelmed the Dark Ales, strapped them to rams, and sent them off to Loch Modan until Brewfest ends. As one dwarf said, "I admire their passion, but any idiot knows that you don't save a mine by collapsing it." Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Oh, Ludra the Mage here, hunting up the pets so you don't have to. This week's pet is the amazing, the astounding Azure Crane Chick. You can get this pet by looting the crane nest on the Timeless Isle. Yep, that's it. Just loot the nest and aggro every living crane around it. These guys typically don't put up too much of a fight. Usually only one of them will be an elite. But that didn't stop me from envisioning my way out of these fights. The bummer about the Azure Crane Chick is that in spite of the item you loot being rare or blue quality, it's only a green or uncommon quality pet. This means you will need to have a flying stone at the ready. As if fighting the RNG boss once over this pet wasn't hard enough. This is the second pet in my experience to downgrade upon learning, the first being the Hyacinth Macaw. Man, what is it with these birds? If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft, This week, the origin of dragons. The myth of dragons go as far back as around 300 BC. Many different civilizations have interpreted the myth in different ways. As such, it is impossible to tell exactly where the myth came from. One idea is that Nile crocodiles may have swam up into Europe. Cultures unfamiliar with the creatures could have easily misinterpreted what they were seeing. Things could have escalated when some discovered whale or dinosaur bones. With such bones being misinterpreted even in the 1930s and on, it's hard not to imagine how some could have seen them as dragons. The myth varies by region. Much of the dragons seen in Azeroth are based around the European model. These were often considered dangerous creatures that lived in caves. In fact, map makers would often label locations, "Here be dragons," as a way to say this uncharted location is probably hazardous. On the other hand, the eastern dragons you see in Pandaria are majestic and powerful, either for good or evil. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com, and always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrothian Heroes.
Real Azrothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Ready, Set, No.
Mr. Ready, Set, No.
Blizzard has done their best to give us the tools that we need to all be on the same page in a raid.
Don't take the moon.
One of the best tools is the Ready Check, allowing everyone to click before the pull to acknowledge that they are fully prepared, fully buffed, and do know the fight.
Take it, Spank, right?
You clicked not because you're ready, but because it was blocking your view of your bag, which you are almost done organizing. Alphabetically.
Wait, I'm only up to J.
So crack open an ice-cold Noggin Fogger Elixir. You could have done this before the raid, holding up the parade player. It's a good thing you're a tank and know the fight. You do know the fight, right?
Mr. Ready,
right?
Set, No.
Right? Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes. Special thanks to Twitter user Beefmaster for this week's idea.
Greetings, and welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Vixorcus, Draenei Paladin and Lore Master of the Archives. Mercifully, I have the library to myself this week, as the boisterous skeleton is participating in the Siege of Orgrimmar. But while we have seen Garrosh Hellscream's corruption with our own eyes, lesser known is the corruption of his father, and the ways in which it led Garrosh to commit these latest atrocities. After the War of the Ancients and the Great Sundering on Azeroth, but before the opening of the Dark Portal between Azeroth and Draenor, the Orc Gul'dan came under the influence of Kil'jaeden, chief lieutenant of Sargeras in the Burning Legion, who hoped to subjugate the entire orcish race. Gul'dan, once a shaman, left the path of nature and became the first warlock, and created the Shadow Council to manipulate the orcish clans into doing Sargeras's bidding. Under the council, the orcs became much more aggressive towards their neighbors, my people, the Draenei, and these warlike ways were championed by many of the chieftains of the orcish clans, among whom was Grom Hellscream of the Warsong clan. The council itself was progenitor to the first orcish horde, but before that, Grom Hellscream would make a choice that would bring a terrible curse upon many of his kind, and change the destiny and appearance of the orcish race forever. And that is where my tale will continue next week. Until then, may the light embrace you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter, or listen to past episodes at azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 13 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohumulone. One of the quest rewards from past Brewfest events was the Overflowing Stein, This came in various colors for a few years, but has since been the same one for the last three. The Brewfestein is an on-use effect of drinking a weak alcoholic beverage. Quite a disappointment, if you ask me. It used to be awarded after you completed the quest, "Now this is racing." Almost. But why is the Stein so important anyway? Stein in German simply means stone. This implies that the name is derived from the mugs within the stoneware category. In German, this would be Steingut. A Stein could very well fit into the overall umbrella of just plain old mug, but that's boring. Instead, a traditional Stein is quite ornate, taking on the appearance and characteristics of a more antiquated tankard. Steins are commonly found decorated with scenes which allude to stories from Bavaria, since as we discussed last week, this is the birthplace of Oktoberfest. Now this may sound like a simple move into Bierstein, right? Well, not entirely. Bierstein, or beer stone, actually has very little to do with the fact that beer goes into a stoneware mug. Instead, the hardened deposits left behind from not washing a stein properly is colloquially called beer stone. So throughout your year in Azeroth, make sure you're washing your stein, or you may have too much beer stein in your beer stein. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at FermentAzeroth or visit the site fermentingazeroth.podbean.com.
Looking at me, bomb!
Greetings and welcome to Slashgrass. I'm your host, Ethink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is Rattle No More. The goal here is to defeat Rattlegore without allowing him to gain more than 5 stacks of rusting in the School of Mons on heroic difficulty. We have 2 ways we could do this achievement. The first way is kiting. If you are familiar with the process of kiting, then you'll have this in the bag. Once you get to about 3 stacks, I would start kiting them around, get as far away as you can for those stacks to drop off. If you're a goblin, you could use your little rocket shoes, which is very, very helpful. Now, the other way we could do this is to just bring in 2 tanking classes. Bring in a warrior and a paladin, and just taunt off each other. If you do this achievement correctly, you'll get the achievement Rattle No More and 10 points. Oh, and just to let everybody know, it is Brewfest. I just want to say, everybody be careful. You don't need to drink to have a good time. You could go buy the goggles and have the quote-unquote drunk effect. Don't be pressured into doing what you don't want to do. Just have a good time.
If you'd like now, you can subscribe to Slashgrass on Stitcher, iTunes, and RSS. Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Around the world of Warcraft in 30 minutes or less.
The Azeroth Perspective.
So it's the last week for the 50 episodes, almost 50 prizes giveaway. Cameron came back for another episode, and Kristen was feeling better just in time to rub it in.
So I just have to say, and this is on record, that I had predicted that Method would be the world first. And even though I got the date wrong...
Yeah, I think you just go on record to say you're like 2 weeks late.
50% correct. So...
Well then if you're 50% correct, last week I made the prediction it'd be like Monday night, Tuesday morning, and I was 50% correct then.
Okay.
You have until October 10th to enter the 50 episodes, almost 50 prizes giveaway. Head over to Twitter, Facebook, let us know what you like about the show, and hashtag TapCast.
Subscribe to the Azeroth Perspective on iTunes, Stitcher, or download the show at theazerothperspective.com.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
And we are so tired. Ben, I keep mixing up all my words. Wait, are you saying I'm boring? My problem is stupid? Or are you just trying to drive away the listeners?
No, it's just nap time.
I'm jealous of my panda cub. She is hibernate.
If you'd like to hear just how badly 2 tired people trying to sound like experts and being excited about pets is like, make sure to catch the newest episode of Battle Pets, episode 32. The hosts are tired.
Seriously, guys, it has been one heck of a week. But Ben, guess what? Guess what, Ben?
What?
I still got more pets than you!
Stupid restless bonkers.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what will we all do if Azeroth shuts down for a day? Stop the panic right now. Azeroth is a place we live. It does not shut down because landmasses do not have on-off switches. Although, I have noticed some funny business on a Tuesday. All right. Very funny. Who pulled the plug? What do you mean, server maintenance? My server needs no maintenance. He just brings my dinner. Well, if Azeroth does somehow shut down for a day, I recommend you spend some time with your extended family. If being around all those cousins and in-laws does not remind you how much you like to go out boar hunting on your own in a powered Azeroth, nothing will. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!